Shareable is part of C-Suite Radio. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this either is or will become your favorite podcast. This is Shareable, the podcast so good, you got to tell someone about it. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. In every episode, I talk with someone about the impact that people and technology have had on their career and their lives. So, let's get to it. I'll be honest, I had no real idea who Scott Dubois was before our interview. He was introduced to me through a friend who I trust, so I figured he'd probably be pretty cool. Although at first I thought his name was Scott Dubois. It's not. It's pronounced the American way. Scott might just be my doppelganger, or maybe I'm his. I don't really know, but either way, we're both around the same age, and we both have digital agencies, and we have a lot of the same views on things, but that didn't stop us from having a really interesting and in-depth conversation. So I hope you listen into this episode, because Scott drops a whole bunch of knowledge bombs, and it would be well worth your time to listen to this whole episode. This episode is Scott Dubois on Shareable.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
All right. And it's Dubois, correct?
It's Dubois.
Dubois? Really?
Dubois. Yep.
Yeah, interesting. I thought I was going to get to speak French, but I guess not.
No, you know, I have the chopped up Americanized version, unfortunately.
Dubois. Okay. Sounds good. So before we get started, I don't know if the forms all came through or anything, because I don't have like any real background on you. I know that you came through Interview Valet, but can you give me like the quick download and like what your deal is, like who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm the co-founder, at least today, and you know, the entrepreneurial story is a whole other fun thing that's longer than what you're looking for. But today I'm the co-founder of Pedalia. That's spelled P-I-D-A-L-I-A. And so Pedalia is a digital agency, and we like to think of ourselves right at the intersection of Madison Avenue and Silicon Valley. So we definitely have a tech-first mentality in our approach. So we solve business problems that have a marketing and some sort of data or technology need to it. So we're a very small agency. We're an agency of six, and but our clients are interesting in that they tend to be very large organizations. And we have four vertical focuses as well. But that's at least the, you know, 30-second view of who I am, what I do in my day-to-day.
Kick ass. So it's going to be a lot like talking to myself, because that's a lot of how I would describe what it is that we do. So it's perfect. Perfect. All right, cool. So how much do you know about Shareable and the show?
So I've listened to, I would say, three or four episodes at this point. I always, when I'm a guest, I like to actually make sure that I've listened to the podcast. I think that's only fair to you and your listeners. So I'm certainly familiar with the format. I certainly am aware of the Now You Do Me segment. I have four questions. I have a fifth, depending upon how we go with time, but I have four questions ready for you. And then I have four things for the rapid fire section as well.
Nice.
That I'm going to ask you. So I think that from a prep and from a pace standpoint, I understand things pretty well. My understanding of you and your agency and in your day-to-day outside the podcast is that you were very much social focused. Is that not true?
It is true. I would say that I would describe what we do as very much how you described what you do, except with a major emphasis on social. So we're looking at how content gets spread, how content gets shared, how people behave, all those sort of things. So when we look at the context of technology or advertising and creative, we're thinking it in the terms of a world that is exceptionally social.
Gotcha. Great.
Cool.
Great. Hey, so before we get started, just real question that I, someone who's involved in social, what do you think of Facebook's play 2 days ago in regards to Snapchat? And do you think it has anything to do with their stock rally, as some people are speculating?
I am a perpetual hater of Facebook, because I fervently believe that they are generally speaking, an unethical company in the way that they conduct themselves. So they've gotten better in recent years, I think, as a result of public scrutiny and being a public company. But I think that their wholesale ripoff of Snapchat, incorporating it both into Instagram and Facebook, is shameful. And it is just yet another mark in my book against Facebook, because their entire platform is built on the thievery of other platforms. And that would be fine if those other platforms weren't then being compared to Facebook and losing as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ultimately where I take issue with it. If you know, it was kind of like live and let live, and people weren't like, you know, Twitter is great besides Facebook, like it irrespective of Facebook, Twitter is great. Instead, they're saying, well, Twitter's not making as much money as Facebook, and they're not growing as fast as Facebook or Instagram. It's like, well, those concepts, a lot of them were ripped off directly from Twitter, and granted, implemented and executed better, but ripped off directly.
Mm.
So I see that happening again, and I use Snapchat for fun, but I will say that this move by Facebook has made me more pro Snapchat than before, because I wasn't particularly pro Snapchat, but once Facebook started ripping them off, I'm like, well, not that they're the little guy, but like, you got to stand up for the person that's being kind of shafted.
Do you find though that with your clients, you're forced into Facebook? That's just where the audience is, and in terms of an ad platform, they're hands down the most mature and sophisticated.
Undoubtedly, it pains me to do so. I wish I could give all of our ad dollars to Twitter, but it would be a waste.
Absolute waste. Yeah, we find the same thing. That's interesting that you went right to Twitter and waste, because we find the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get some things out of it, but I don't even think the real value on Twitter is the same as the value on Facebook. I think that it's a completely different platform, and as a result, the advertising needs to be thought of differently. I mean, I think the in-stream ads that Twitter was really the innovator in are right. Still smart, but I don't think the way that Twitter executes things is particularly intelligent.
Bingo, bingo. Man, we actually should have been recording this.
We are recording right now, so who knows? Maybe we'll just, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just, how about this? Here's what we're going to do. From right here, I'm keeping everything we just did, and let's start. So we've already covered who you are and what you do, and we just had this little awesome conversation. So, okay, let's start from right here. I like this idea. So audience, you're welcome. You get to listen to all of that. Let's start with this, Scott. I like to, as you've listened to the podcast, you know, I like to find out how people use technology. You already sound super savvy to me. So let's start with the first question of early adopter or late adopter or somewhere in between.
Early adopter.
Okay, awesome. So you like to get your hands in there and tinker around. How about on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put yourself?
I'd put myself as a 9. I can't say a 10. I work with way too many people who are just much more tech savvy than me, but I would like to think that I'm a 9.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody kind of looks at the where do you rate yourself on technology 1 to 10 differently. Some compare themselves to others. Some compare it to what they believe that they're capable of. Some, and when they compare it to others, sometimes it's like to people that are less tech savvy than them versus more. So it's interesting that that you put yourself at a 9 and compared to those that are more tech savvy. Smart number. As far as what you're most likely to do online, you know, you jump onto Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Are you more likely to create, curate, comment, or passively watch?
I think I would tend to comment. It's interesting. Mix between, you know, I should certainly be doing more for create. But I would say overall, it would be to comment.
Okay, cool. So you're more interested in letting somebody else catalyze a discussion and then entering it and, you know, commenting on it and joining that conversation.
Yep, giving my take, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. And then are you an iPhone user or an Android user?
iPhone.
Okay, awesome. So let's dig into it. Let's talk about technology to start with. So I'm always most interested in how technology changes someone's life. So I think you and I are contemporaries in terms of our age. I'm 36. You're similar age range, right?
I am 36 as well.
Holy crap. It's like we're twins. So, you know, I think in our generation, you know, we grew up with technology a particular way. You know, if you're anything like me, you were on AOL. You had AOL Instant Messenger. You were in chat rooms. Then maybe you did Prodigy if you were like starting even earlier. And then, you know, kind of going through the ranks, probably like checked out MySpace when it came out and all those sort of things. So we grew up, we're an interesting generation, I think. I call us the bridge generation because we're able to talk to millennials and Generation Z about technology and understand them and have grown up with similar technology. But we also can talk to the boomers because we understand and remember vaguely the time before technology, or at least the technology that we now know. So we're an interesting generation. How would you say that the way you've chosen to use technology has impacted your career and brought you to where you are now?
Well, I think the choice to use technology has essentially made my career. So I think, you know, very early on, I've always been interested just because, you know, hey, it's something that I was drawn to. But, you know, I was lucky enough that, you know, literally in the teenage years, I saw the applicability of technology to business and how it was changing the world. And so I would say that, you know, even more impactful than how I, you know, use it, technology has essentially shaped my career or how I got to where I am today.
How do you see technology? Like, how do you look at it? Do you see it as an enabler? Do you see it as a disruptor? I mean, it's probably a little bit of all of these things, but when you like kind of sit and ponder on the idea of technology as a force in your world, what's probably the most present thing that you see about it?
So it's interesting. I view it as neither. I actually view technology as part of life. And so it's evolving much like we are as a society. So, you know, when we talk about technology, you know, you ask the iPhone versus Android question, and that's, you know, technology, that's a piece of technology we can all relate to. We can all relate to the computer. But there are things that are just impacting. For instance, you know, we just got my wife a new car, and it's amazing to me the technology that's on board in terms of controlling lane departure and auto correcting. And obviously, you know, we have, you know, self-driving cars that Uber is playing with, and Tesla's obviously done a ton of work there. And so I think more and more we're just seeing it come into and just become part of life. And so I don't view it as, you know, necessarily, you know, what does it enable? Is it invasive? It really, at least as far as I view it, is just becoming and evolving, you know, how we live our lives. It's becoming integral and just part of our life.
Are you ever fearful of it? I mean, do you ever look at the things that are happening and say, okay, well, this is one that I think maybe we should stop and consider before we move forward on it? Or are you kind of all in, like looking for the I guess, the silver lining in it?
Always the silver lining. I'm all in. I haven't seen something yet that has me fearful. That's an interesting take, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
So what would you say then to, you know, maybe people because it sounds like you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to swim with the current a little bit, but what about people whose jobs or careers could be completely disrupted as a result of technology? I mean, is your take on that people should learn to embrace it and figure out how to swim with it? Or, you know, how do you relate to something like that? Like automation, robotics, artificial intelligence, machine learning?
Yeah, so that's an interesting and almost a societal question. And I think something that we're wrangling with right now, and we see it in the political scene, and not to be, you know, comment politically, just in the broader sense, I think it's inevitable. And so I don't know that it's, you know, necessarily that you need to swim with it. It's happening. And so there's no doubt that automation is changing things, but there's going to be impact as well beyond, you know, for instance, we always think about, and let's use the example, right? So what's going to happen with driverless vehicles, specifically what it's going to do with the trucking industry, for instance, right? And so now you're going to have where there are so many folks that are, you know, that are driving trucks, and, you know, technology is going to enable it that, you know, who knows? And we won't talk about years. Is it going to be 2 or 5 years from now? Whatever that timeline is, that's going to be happening. But what about the professions that people don't often think of? Right? Whether it's the doctors or the lawyers, because, you know, AI is going to be able to crunch and come up with a legal opinion or strategy much quicker and more accurately, typically, than, right, a human attorney might. And again, that's not to take away from the skill, but that's something that I can see being enabled. Again, when you get into robotics, can machines be more precise than the best surgeon? I don't know. I'm not a surgeon, but I suspect, and because of some of what I've read and listened to, I suspect that's going to be true. So I think oftentimes it's not even, you know, everyone talks about now because it's just in the news that what's happening with trucking, but it's going to affect a lot of industries and quite frankly, the industry that you and I are both in as well. So I think it's just inevitable. And as a society, it's going to become the question of how we adapt or how it becomes, you know, integrated. And that's why I say I view technology really is just part of life.
So it's interesting because all of the examples you just brought up, I don't know, maybe the people listening see the silver lining in that, but to me, that's a little terrifying. So you think about like doctors being put out because a robot can do it better. Attorneys being put out because of that. Truckers being put out because a driverless vehicle will have lower rates of accidents, better understand when it needs to be serviced, and can run all night without any sort of need for rest. You look at the fight for 15, and basically the response to that has been fast food chains putting in touch screens. So I see the whole it's part of life perspective, but it's part of life. What happens to our society when all of these technologies begin to replace human beings? What do we do next?
Yeah, so there are going to be a couple of things. I mean, if you're talking strictly in the financial sense, I mean, you see this whole discussion now about, you know, universal income and do we have to get there? I think what's going to happen because of this technology as well is this is going to become a broader or a more worldwide discussion than just a U.S. discussion. I think technology is going to be the driver for that because it is going to be the equalizer. And then if you're talking about in terms of, well, what do we actually do, you know, ourselves, not in the financial perspective. I think that you're going to see more and more. I mean, look, you see today, I just read another article about it yesterday, specifically with our generation or the generation younger than us, everybody has a side hustle, right? You know, we hear that term. I almost hate to use it.
I have
right,
like
exactly,
five.
Exactly. I almost hate to use the term because it's overused right now, but what's happening is these you know, folks are having side hustles because it's a passion project. Now, it happens to be a way that they can make money and do it as well, but it becomes a passion. I think what this is going to force is eventually going to force, you know, people to find their passion. And it's going to be interesting to watch how as a society we evolve for that, because some of the more traditional roles may not have as much of a demand as we have today.
It's interesting because when I think about the dots being connected there, in my mind, it's that technology for a while has made us further apart. Technology has brought us closer together. And then when you think about technology disrupting and displacing things, it's creating opportunities for us to, again, reconnect with who we are and what we're all about and our passions. And generally, those are going to be in ways that robots and automation would have a hard time replacing. So it's that person-to-person connection. So it's almost like this expansion and contraction of what technology is doing is it's pulling us further apart and pushing us closer together, depending upon, you know, the way that the waves kind of come and go.
Yep. 100% agree.
So, has there been any point in your career where you found that technology has, disrupted what you were on pace to do and caused you to go in a different direction? Or is it more that it showed up and emerged an opportunity that you then followed and caused you to be able to do something different?
Yeah, I think showed up and emerged and creates opportunities. I mean, right now we're obviously, like I think most folks in our space are really starting to play with virtual reality and what that's going to bring. And so I think what it does, at least in the business context for us, is creates opportunity, because at the end of the day, we are in the communication business. And so really it becomes about the efficiency and the effectiveness of that communication. And so the technology really is just presenting opportunities for that.
So I think I remember my childhood, which nicely the fact that we're the same age is kind of cool because we're dealing with a similar kind of childhood. But I remember when I used to pick up the phone and call my friends when I was like, you know, under 10 years old and ask them for like to hang out for a play date. And now I feel like things are probably different. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit virtual reality and like how that may change and just, you know, alter the way that we communicate with one another. But at the core of it, there's still this person-to-person connection and this human being-to-human being communication skills that have to happen. How do you see what's your take on it? Because I'm curious to hear kind of from your side how you see technology has changed the way we communicate with each other. Or do you think that it's just the same? It's just that technology has created a different layer for it.
It's completely a different layer. I don't think that it has changed all that much. And you hear it often that, hey, you know, kids these days are just buried in the screen. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're communicating. The platform, the medium is different, but it's still interpersonal communications. I mean, at the end of the day, we are still human beings. Can't lose sight of that. And so I think that's all that's happening.
So I think for that, you know, you've listened to his show before, and you know I like to kind of take it in a particular kind of flow where you talk about technology, move a little bit and talk about people. And normally I like to talk about people that have changed your life. And I do want to hear about a story about somebody in your life that made an impact and changed the way you look at it. But does this mean that as we move forward and our communications become more virtual and more digital, that the way in which we as older people, I guess, talk to younger people and make an impact in their life has to adapt and become digital as well? Or does it mean that the younger generation needs to adapt to the older? Or kind of what's your take on how these profound impacts that human beings will have on each other may adapt and change? Or will they all fundamentally be the same, just with, again, a different technology layer?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day that they're all going to be the same. What I think is going to be interesting in terms of who adapts to who is where things become commonplace or sticking points. So where you see the adoption on the bell curve, right? I think that more and more technology is going to iterate faster, right? And so similar to what we see in social networks, you're going to see some technologies that stick or don't stick. And so I think when you have critical mass, that's going to force the adoption. And whether that's, you know, the younger generation into something that's more commonly accepted, or, you know, the older generation into something new. But again, that's not even universal, right? I've met some folks in the younger generation that, you know, really are not adopters. I've also met some folks that are much older than me that are, I would put in that 9 or 10 category to the question you asked earlier, where do you put yourself on that technology scale? So I wouldn't say that that's a universal indicator, but I think that when it happens, it's going to happen because of critical mass.
Talk to me a little bit about some people in your life. I'm curious about some of those experiences you may have had. Somebody that said something at the right time, at the right place. Someone who's had an impact on how you've chosen to go about your life. Because our parents are probably roughly similar age and things. And for that reason, we've grown up around technology in the same kind of way. And our parents had their kind of experience. So a lot of the influences of people that were older than us were probably the same. I'm curious about some of those experiences and people that influenced and impacted you in the way that you've chosen to live your life and go about your career. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I have a great story, and there's, you know, when I get that question, the one person who is influenced, there are many, but there's one that I can think of that is a tremendous story. And so I was, in my early, you know, or I guess mid-teens, somewhere around 15 or 16, I was, you know, in high school, and my first job was as a network administrator, right? Because what do you do when you're tech savvy and way into computers?
That was your first job, was network administrator? I worked at a pizza shop, dude.
So that was my first, in the summer I was there all summer, and then after school I was there, you know, in the afternoons. And but I was really learning. At the end of the day, it was kind of almost, you know, PC repair, and the network admin came in later. And to tie it into the question, I met a gentleman who was, you know, the consultant who basically put the computer network at this company together. And he was a professor at UMass, but he had a consulting company on the side. And he saw in me that I was really into technology. And what he gets the credit for is for actually tying in the business perspective. So explaining how technology had an impact to business and therefore what the opportunity for me and my career would be. And so it was a great gentleman. His name's Phil Vile. And, you know, Phil gets so much credit for actually taking the passion for technology and showing me how it could apply to businesses or why it was valuable, you know, to businesses, and seeing it from that perspective and really kind of shaped the path of, well, here we are talking today.
That's really awesome. I'm a little envious because I don't, you know, I ask that question of people, and a lot of people have good stories like that. I would always say, you know, my dad was probably one of the most impactful for me, just to have me follow that passion and go after the things I want. But it's nice that you had that person to kind of frame it and make you thoughtful from a business and, I guess, profitability perspective early on. Whereas that's something I've had to kind of learn more by trial and error, or trial by fire, I guess. So that's really cool that happened to you. You seem like a very adaptable person. Like the world just kind of seems to you like you're going to figure it out. So, you know, you've gone about things the way you have, you've adapted to things as they've come along. You have that silver lining perspective, but is there anything that you wish that you could go back and tell yourself as a piece of advice, or something that you wish you could have done differently, or a lesson that you, if you had learned it earlier in your life, it just would have made your life that much easier?
There is one big one. And, you know, I think I I think as any lesson that we've learned in business, you almost wish you hadn't taken so long to learn it. And that is, you just should not try to be all things to all people. And it's a very easy trap to fall into when you're starting off. But to try and be all things to all people is, it's going to leave you spinning your wheels and just eventually lead to a lot of frustration.
Is that more about your own multied and varied interests and being able to focus that down? Or is that more about trying to please other people?
No, it's I think more about the interests are just naturally where we go. And again, I'm talking about it strictly from a business perspective. And so, obviously, you know, your interests tie into, I think, you know, how you grow your company. Certainly how I've grown, you know, my company, both myself and my co-founder. And so when you're early and when you're starting, there are going to be opportunities presented, and to a business that's just getting started, it's very hard to say no to opportunities, right? Because you're thinking about, you know, paying the bills and things like that. But if it's going to lead to frustration and eventually, right, what you have to think about is oftentimes in these opportunities, it's not only you who's frustrated, right? It might be the client or the account that you're trying to service. It does neither of you, it's a disservice to both parties. And so I think just being keenly aware of that, and that's something certainly that we are, you know, at this point, but I'm saying, you know, years and years ago, I wish something I had have known.
Got it. You're very wise for being the same age as me. I think that you have a very practical way of looking at things and like a very good head on your shoulders. So I'm sure that somewhere in your brain, you have something that would be just a damn good piece of practical advice for people that if you were talking to somebody and they were like, hey, you know, what's one thing I should do today that'll make my life better or whatever, you know, you've got some insight into technology. It's obvious that you understand and are a great communicator with people. So you've got these two forces that you seem to understand very well. What's something that if somebody listening to this episode were to, you know, at the end of this episode, sit down and do one thing that day, what's the one thing that they should go do that'll make an impact on their life or on their business or just positively impact them in some way?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I would say the one thing would be to identify how, and this is probably out of left field and probably something you're not expecting, Jeff, but identify how you best consume information and then do more of it. Right. So in business, oftentimes we're told, okay, hey, you need to read books. And of course, lately, you know, we're on a podcast right now. It's a podcast. Should I be reading websites? Should I have an RSS feed? And again, this is my own personal experience. I don't necessarily digest information the same or as well across all of those mediums. But certainly I now have a rhythm in what I'm up to and how I consume that works for me. So certainly we all follow and listen, whether it's things that we care about our business or whether it's our passion, but how you consume that information, I find a lot of times people are scattered all over the place. I've just gotten, you know, for me, at least it works that I've, you know, when I have a medium that works for me that I respond to, I do that. And so I would say consume in a way that actually makes an impact for your day to day.
I think that's great advice because people, I think there is a pressure, right? There's a pressure. For instance, I'm always told that the smartest and most successful people wake up early. So I constantly feel this pressure to wake up early because that's what I'm told, right? Just like, you know, smart people read books or smart people listen to podcasts on their way into work. And I think now with the proliferation of, you know, everyone having an opinion and lots of common knowledge coming out and lots of gurus and you know, thought leaders emerging, there's a lot of pressure to do a lot of different things. And I think it's a really salient point to say, figure out who you are as a person and figure out how you best respond to things. And then do that. Don't really care about what other people are telling you to do. Maybe listen to them for ideas, but figure out what your thing is and then do more of that. I think it's great advice.
Right. Good job. I agree. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice one for everyone out there. That's a good one. Thank you, Scott. So let's do the rapid fire questions. You ready for them?
I'm ready.
All right. What are the apps in your dock?
So for me, it's the phone. It is email. It is Safari. And it's the podcast app.
Okay. Which pod? You use the regular podcast app?
Yep. The Apple podcast app. Yep.
So if you haven't tried it yet, I would strongly suggest testing out Overcast. It's freaking awesome. I was using the podcast app for a while. And I still have it on my phone, but Overcast is awesome.
Okay, you are. That's very interesting. You're the third person to say that in the last month to me. So
it's really great. It does some really cool stuff. I know that the bulk of our audience is actually on Overcast. We love you, Overcast subscribers. But the app itself is really cool. It removes silence in the conversation, so you can kind of get through them faster. You can increase the speed. It'll modulate the volume. It's a really good app. So definitely check it out. All right, sorry that interrupted the rapid fires from being rapid to just being questions. But what's the one application, mobile, desktop, or web that you can't live without because it's just so damn useful?
Slack.
Dude, that's an awesome app. I love Slack. All social sites are going to be deleted tomorrow, and I nominate you to be the one to choose the one social network that gets to live on forever. What is it?
Well, we had that conversation earlier. It has to be Facebook. It's where people are, and it's certainly in terms of maturity and backing is there. So I mean, I think for me, it's where I connect to people. Again, we talk that technology and these platforms aren't something that we adopt. They're part of our day to day, and so therefore, so much of my life is on Facebook. Facebook has to be the winner.
It's funny, if I had to answer that question for myself as a user versus as a consultant, as a social business strategist, I would answer them completely differently. But I would agree with you from a business perspective. It's hard to say anything other than Facebook,
or even on a personal perspective, right? I mean, think about it right now. I'll bet, you know, your parents, your family, I mean, the things that you care about on a personal basis, your high school friends, I mean, where are you connected at? You know, we don't know each other that well at all, but I'm willing to bet you that 85% of your connections, if not higher, are happening on Facebook.
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
That said, I still would probably cut off my nose despite my face. And I would, on a personal level, just say Twitter. And I'd be like, if you want to find me or find out what I'm up to, just find me on Twitter. because I love Twitter and as we covered earlier, I don't really trust Facebook still, but I deal with it. Okay. So what's one book that every business person should read?
Okay. Well,
or listen on audiobook since we just covered that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Right. So you're asking from the business perspective, cause I have kind of two that I'm thinking about.
So let me clarify the question. The question is, it's a business person reading it, but it's any book that they should read. So I don't care if you say it's the encyclopedia. So,
So here we go, Jeff. I have the answer for you. We've done it so much on this podcast already. You're going to let me break the rules one more time. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. I'm going to give you two. So if it's about your business, this one is an oldie, but a goodie. Matter of fact, I think it's probably at this point, 15 years old. And it's Ice to the Eskimos by John Spolstra. Phenomenal book, for me, who's a sports fan, there's a neat tie in there, but some of the principles are still applicable today and it's easily digestible. And then of course, if you're a business person and you just want, you know, something that's funny. And I think one of the best books that I've, and I happen to not read this one. I happen to listen to this one on audiobook. But it was just in the last year, tremendous. And it's an interesting take, is Disrupted by Dan Lyons.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I was trying to guess what you were going to say with the first book, as you were like, it's an oldie but goodie. And this, I was like, he's going to say the E-Myth. But you didn't. Ice Taskamos, it's a good one. I like it. All right. So final question is this. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
To fly.
Huh. Really?
I think that would be neat.
Okay. Fair point. So you were nice enough to come on the show, Scott. I appreciate it. I'm so glad that we were put in touch for this episode. And it sounds like we have a lot in common. And I don't even know where you are in the world, but if you are close, I would be glad to sit down for an old fashioned with you and shoot the shit about being two 36-year-old incredibly handsome gentlemen that live in this technologically advanced world. But you were nice enough to come on the show, and I like to give my guests a little bit of time to talk about who they are, what they do, where people can connect with them, anything that they want to promote or tell people about. So right now, the time is yours. Tell people all about yourself.
Great. So, well, as you alluded to, I'm a 36-year-old entrepreneur. The company that I co-founded is Padalia. We're a digital agency. We're located in Boston, Massachusetts. And so what we do is we really help organizations, and we typically cater to large organizations in the financial services, insurance, healthcare, and nonprofit space, use technology to their advantage for communications, for efficiency, or for fundraising. And if you want to connect with me, you can certainly find me on Twitter at Scott Dubois, or probably even easier is we've created a custom landing page for this show. So if you go to pedalia.com, pedalia.com/shareable, that's a landing page specifically for this podcast, and we could connect further.
Very cool. That's a smart idea. I'm going to encourage more guests to do that. I'm going to give you a nickel every time you do it. So thank you for coming on the show. I think this is really cool. I know that we're going to be doing a Now You Do Me episode shortly after this. So for all of you listening, if you love this one, I'm sure you're going to love it when we turn the tables. Thanks for tuning in, as you always do, our loyal listeners. We love you so much. Thanks for your time, attention. Hope you give us reviews and share the episode, because this episode is shareable.
That was so much fun. I can't even believe the guests that we get. I mean, can you believe the guests that we get?
I can, actually. I schedule them.
Awesome. Well done. Well, this episode for me was an absolute blast, and I hope everyone listening really enjoyed it. But now that we're in this fun little outro, what should people do next?
I think they should check us out on iTunes.
Definitely go check us out on iTunes, and when you get there, subscribe, drop us a review. And then, what's that one last thing we want them to do?
I don't know.
Share the episode.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. It's in the name. So please share this episode, tell everyone you know, and we'll see you on the next episode of Shareable.
Bye.